Would you like some sauce with that grilling?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. This morning, Congress will likely be lathering it on thick. Bank CEOs go before a committee to testify about the massive cash infusion that took place last fall. Several of the executives say they loaned out more money because of it. But, of course, there have been lots and lots of criticism about where the money's gone or the fact that there hasn't been much accountability. We're joined by Representative Jeb Hensarling, a Republican from the 5th District of Texas. He's a member of the House Financial Services Committee. Congressman, what's the first question you'd like to ask one of those CEOs?
Well, I would like to ask them, in some respects, what were they thinking in taking the taxpayer money and assuming that life could go on as usual? Having said that, I don't necessarily want this to turn into a public beheading of 8 CEOs. A lot of the blame, frankly, belongs with Congress. Congress gave Treasury a blank check. Treasury turned around and essentially gave these banks a blank check. Congress should have written a law that required more transparency and more accountability, and that's where the real fault lies.
If this cash infusion was supposed to increase lending, why do you suppose banks have been reluctant to do that?
Well, I think it was more than that. The theory was that to stop a bank panic, you had to have an infusion of capital, not necessarily that that would lead to more lending. Frankly, I want banks to make decisions about who they lend to. Part of the reason that we're in the economic challenge that we're in is that congressional policies attempted to force, incent, or browbeat financial institutions into loaning money to people to buy homes who couldn't afford the homes. I don't want to repeat that mistake as we try to pull out of this mistake. There has to be accountability on what are they doing with the taxpayer money, and the taxpayer may make the decision he wants his money back.
Representative Jeb Hensarling, 5th District of Texas, thanks for taking time to speak with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
After a big sell-off yesterday in response to the Treasury Secretary Geithner's ode to Bank Rescue 2, Wall Street seems to be buying again. The Dow is up about 1% so far, more than 72 points. NASDAQ up about 1%. S&P 500 up, you guessed it, about 1%. Europe's up slightly or flat this hour. Hong Kong down 2.5% today. The Commerce Department says the U.S. trade deficit shrank by 4% in December. The global financial fallout cut imports and exports for the 5th consecutive month. Imports of autos and auto parts were the lowest since May of 1999. Maybe we can blame the fallout on our genes. There's a new study out today that links, if in a small way, our genetic makeup to the amount of risk we're willing to take with our savings. From the Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
Dopamine and serotonin are brain chemicals that play a role in behaviors like addiction or how neurotic we are. According to the study, two genes that regulate these chemicals are culprits in our economic behavior. Northwestern University professor Camilla Kunin gave students money to make 96 investment choices. Then she took some of their saliva to get their DNA. Students who carried specific varieties of the genes made risky investments 25% more of the time than those without them. But Kunin says her study didn't take into account how we grow up.
Only 30% of variation in risk-taking behavior is due to our genes. The rest of 70% comes from other things like your life experience, your cultural background, your education.
The risk-taking variants that Kunin identified are also linked to how much our ancestors moved around. The farther they traveled, the more likely you are to make risky financial choices. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions. Software based on how people really work.
Well, the Senate finally approved a new version of the stimulus package, but debate continues about whether it's a good idea. Commentator Will Wilkinson isn't so sure, and he thinks there's more psychology than theory at work.
The government is about to spend $838 billion in taxpayer dollars on the premise that the economy otherwise risks spinning into a sort of death spiral. So how exactly is this supposed to work? The terrifying fact is that nobody really knows. The president's idea is that American investors and consumers are undergoing a self-perpetuating crisis of confidence, suffering from depressed animal spirits, to use John Maynard Keynes' famous phrase. Consumers, fearing the worst, cut spending. And that hurts retail sales, which hurts profits, which leads to layoffs, which leads to a new round of anxieties for creditors and consumers, and on and on and on. A big blast of tax cuts and government spending, a sort of economic shock therapy, is supposed to jolt us out of our self-reinforcing funk and put us on the happy path to recovery. In this Keynes-inspired view, anti-recession macroeconomic policy turns out to be a kind of government mood manipulation. Sadly, macroeconomists are amateur psychologists at best. They simply don't know which interventions reliably buoy consumer and investor confidence. Indeed, many leading macroeconomists say there's little evidence that slashing taxes and boosting spending works well at all, even in theory. And the massive stimulus package we're about to get is far from a work of economic science. Harvard's Robert Barrow, one of the world's most influential macroeconomists, says the bill's tax cut and spending provisions are both garbage. The idea is that stimulus will revive flagging animal spirits by actually priming consumption. But an ill-designed set of initiatives, a bunch of garbage, may do little more than run up crushing deficits that we'll pay for in inflation or pass on to our kids. President Obama did promise to bring us hope. Well, I'm doing my best to hope this works.
Will Wilkinson is a fellow at the Cato Institute. Finally, things could get a little fuzzy for SiriusXM. The satellite radio company is in deep debt, and the New York Times reports it likely won't make its debt payment at the end of the month. Enter EchoStar, the TV satellite company. It's been buying up a lot of SiriusXM's debt lately, and there's speculation it may make a bigger move down the road. There's more on that report and lots more from our online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, insidemarketplace.org. Once again, markets up at this hour, the Dow up about 1%. More on the numbers at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.